Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
Good morning, Indiana. We are continuing with Representative John Jacob as we discuss the looming decision to overturn Roe versus Wade and to pass an abortion banning bill here to ban abortion in Indiana. And so just listen in as we continue our discussion from the previous week on legislation and what you can do to convince your legislators to ban abortion in Indiana.
Or last year's bill was, we've had in the past here, last two sessions, one of them was a woman could actually call in and she could get her chemical abortion pills to murder her baby. Well, they put a bill into place that would make the woman actually come into the abortion clinic to still get, for her to get her murder pills, her abortion, chemical abortion pills. So that bill was actually going to limit and not allow her to call in over the phone to get her abortion pills. So now it's going to create, quote, a hardship on her to force her to go into the abortion clinic. And again, another regulatory bill that says, as long as you fulfill this requirement, you can still murder your baby. Right to Life actually put forth another bill. This is just so sickening that a woman who has a chemical abortion, she gives birth to her dead baby. So if most people know how the chemical abortion, the RU-486 works, but basically it's a two-stage pill. You take one at the abortion clinic, that one starves the baby. It starts starving the baby. The second pill, the woman takes about 18 hours later, and it causes her to start her uterus to start contracting, and then she gives birth to a dead baby in the toilet. So they authored legislation that says that a woman could bring her dead baby back to the abortion clinic to get a proper burial.
Oh my.
That was touted as a pro-life win. We had another one previously in the past.
What's wrong with the Right to Life organization? Why aren't they on board with you?
Because, Greg, number one, I believe that they don't use the gospel in relationship to combating this spiritual warfare when it comes to the issue of abortion. But in addition, they look at not only as the baby being a victim, but they look at the woman as being a victim. Because they look at the woman as being a victim, and they look at the abortionist as being the one that's really the, if you will, the evil one in this situation, they don't, they, number one, I mean, they're not for criminalization of abortion for the woman. Although they're for it for the, what I've seen for the abortionist, they're not for criminalization on the woman. And they've been bowing to the wrong statement that has just been touted everywhere. It's just been touted for decades. And this lie, which is, we are bound to Roe versus Wade. Roe versus Wade is the law of the land. How many times have you ever heard that? Roe versus Wade is the law of the land. It's like, no, that's a, it's the lie of the land.
Right.
You know, I mean, it is a unjust court decision. And unjust court decisions like that need to be defied, not obeyed. I mean, this is just, that's egregious. We're saying that it's okay to murder children. I mean, it's very clear. Human life begins at conception. And because human life begins at conception, abortion always takes the life of an innocent little human being. Therefore, abortion is always murder.
And that leads into discussing the barbaric act of abortion. We were at that rally in June, and women who were pregnant had were showing their belly and had written on their stomach, "Not a human yet."
Right.
And you have something growing within you, and only things that are alive can grow, either a tumor or a baby. And the barbaric act of ripping a baby out of the womb, it has limbs, it has a brain, it has a head. You hear some of these abortion doctors who have repented of their sin and came to the anti-abortion side and describe the act of using those forceps and ripping every part and numbering those parts. And then we know that Planned Parenthood is selling some of those parts.
That's correct. I mean, so the... And I'll piggyback off of what I was already saying. Obviously, the Bible makes it very clear that life begins at conception. That's very clear. And we're all created in the image of God. So with that, every life is precious.
Correct.
And however, there are people who say, well, I don't believe the Bible. Okay. But biology upholds what the Bible has already made clear, and that life begins at conception. Well over 95% of biologists agree now that human life begins at conception. You know, there's a very small contingency of biologists that don't say that. But what was in question in 1973 when Roe versus Wade occurred, which was, where does human life really begin? That's not in question anymore. You know, biology, science, true science makes it very clear that life begins at conception. In addition, in Indiana, we have a law in the abortion code that specifically, explicitly says that human life begins at conception when the sperm fertilizes the woman's egg.
So that law was passed when?
I don't know the exact year, but it's been in place for years. There's in the abortion code, there's a list of items that a woman has when she goes to abortion clinic. The abortion clinic has to tell her these things, this list of items. That is one of the items on the list that they have to tell her that she has, that human life begins at conception. And she has to sign off on that statement stating that that information was conveyed to her.
And isn't there a law that they have to do an ultrasound? So they see the baby. Has that law been passed in Indiana?
I honestly, I'm not really sure about the abortion on the ultrasound. Typically, they will. I know they do an abortion. I'm sorry, do a
ultrasound.
Each state is different on the ultrasound. I don't know. However, abortionists do an ultrasound, and the reason is because it's them knowing how far along a woman is depends upon the price of the abortion. The earlier the abortion, the cheaper, I'm sorry, the earlier the gestational age of the baby, the cheaper the abortion is. The further along the baby is, the more expensive typically the abortion is. So the abortionist gets more money out of this if knowing that the baby is further along. So they do that again by with the ultrasound. And typically, by the way, they, you know, the abortionist can look at the screen and they can, and I believe there is something in there that says they have to show the image. It doesn't say what kind of image. You know, you can, if you've had, if you know, I'm sure like you've probably seen when your own children, when your wife probably had a her ultrasounds that you've seen the images of the child, you can do a twist and it really does look like just a clump of cells. You can do another twist and see a fully formed baby.
Right.
So what the abortionist actually shows the woman, and I know that I've heard over and over where women have actually been shown an ultrasound and the abortionist just shows them what is a very vague image instead of trying to show them a clear image of their baby.
Hmm.
And many times, as my wife and I and many others have been out at the abortion clinic ministering, the crisis pregnancy centers will do a good job of trying to show them a good image. And we tell the women as we minister to them to try to keep them from murdering their baby. We say, hey, you know, we'll take you down to the crisis pregnancy center here close by and they'll give you a good image and do an ultrasound on you and they'll give you help.
Well, that gets to the point of upcoming meetings. One of them will be at Planned Parenthood. Why don't we discuss some of the rallies that you have coming up here? There was a rally yesterday at the Indianapolis Baptist Temple, but there are other rallies coming up. And if you would share with us those rallies, I have a list that came in an email.
Yes. So our schedule, we have been in Covington. Wednesday, July 13th, we were in Goshen. Thursday, July 14th, we are going to be in Clarksville, Indiana. Friday, July 15th, we will be in Richmond, Indiana. Saturday, July 16th, we will be at Indianapolis Baptist Temple on the south side of Indianapolis, 4002 East Southport Road. Tuesday, July 19th, we will be in Bluffton, Indiana. Thursday, we will be July 21st, we will be in Lafayette, Indiana. And Saturday, July 23rd, I will be speaking at the Church at Planned Parenthood because we have every month we have a Church at Planned Parenthood where we minister out there and we typically have somebody bring a sermon and some worship and we're praying out there and also pleading with women to...
And that's usually the fourth Saturday of every month, is that correct?
Typically, yes. Yes.
Okay. Good. And then on the 25th?
The 25th is actually going to be the official start of the legislative session. So not the formal on paper, but the actual when we will start convening. And so what we're asking people to do on July 25th is to show up en masse at 12 p.m. on the fourth floor of the State House. And the reason is because politicians are like water. They take the path of least resistance. And so the pro-aborts, those are on the pro-choice side. They've already made it clear. There's going to be thousands of them lobbying for abortion rights. There's also going to be the middle-of-the-road people who are the what I call the pro-life establishment people that will be going along with whatever the establishment comes out with on their bill. But what my plea is for those who want to see an all-out ban on abortion, we need for you to show up on July 25th at 12 p.m. at the Indiana State House on the fourth floor. And we'll be giving you further instructions at that time as well. We don't have a lot of detail as to how everything is going to progress. So we will need people to show up as well after July 25th. So July 26th and there on out. It depends on how long the committee hearings are going on. But I tell people, if we just show up with the same numbers that the pro-aborts have or the middle of the pro-life people have. In other words, if we show up with just thousands, they're going to look at it as kind of like an equal voice thing. So the politicians need to see us showing up in the tens of thousands.
And we need the pastors to get on board, encourage their congregations to get out and do this and come out and Yes. Interesting what you told me the other night about you being chided that the churches are not showing up.
Yes, I had a former state representative, a Republican state representative, who claims to be pro-life, and yet he essentially, the distillation of the conversation with that individual, this is about a year ago, he said, John, you guys, meaning those on the, you as Christians, you want an all-out ban on abortion, or even if you're a patriot, but you guys want an all-out ban on abortion. You want to see this ended, but yet you really won't show up. You won't show that you're really serious about this and show up, yet you want us to take the heat for this. Now, that doesn't absolve legislators. Legislators need to do what's right no matter what people are saying or who's looking. But the bottom line is that he is right in some respect. The church has been woefully negligent, absent, and apathetic as it relates to the preborn. I mean, I tell people all the time, you know, we minister out the abortion clinics. There's 3 of the 7 abortion clinics are right in Indianapolis. 2/3 of the children murdered in the state are right in Marion County. And yet there's 1 million professing Christians in the central Indiana area, yet you can only get about 12 Christians out at the abortion clinic. But yes, that representative, though, and I'm kind of pivoting back and forth, that representative really does embody what the church has done. They've been very apathetic. They look at it as somebody else's responsibility, or it's not a big deal, or there's nothing they can do on this. Yet there's much they can do in getting involved in the battle. That's why I'm sitting here, Greg.
That's right.
I'm sitting here because I was getting tired of do-nothing politicians, and so I decided, you know what? I mean, I felt like the Lord called me to run for office, so I did. Because I thought, well, I'm going to take that voice from outside. I'm going to bring it on the inside.
Well, and then the conservative pro-life politicians, GOP, raise $1 million to give to your candidate in the primaries so they can vote you out.
That's right. The arm of the Republican Party for campaigning, they lobbed over $1 million towards my opponent and also Representative Nisley's opponent to try to unseat us, in essence, to shut us up, to make us go away.
Well, you're not going to shut up, and we'll make sure this gets aired all across Indiana. Hopefully, we will have many people listening.
And by the way, I want to interject this. It wasn't just, this wasn't about Representative Nisley, by the way, or John Jacob. It was about we the people. It was about we the people, and it was about the preborn, because they wanted us to shut up because our voice was a representation of the true conservative voice of the people in Indiana who wanted to see an end to abortion, and they wanted to see true conservative legislation coming out of the Republican supermajority. But their money that they lobbed at our opponents to try to unseat Representative Nisley and myself was really a smackdown on the conservatives of the state of Indiana. Hmm. They were trying to shut down their voice.
Shut down their voice. You know, this is no different than Pharaoh killing the baby boys and throwing them in the Nile River during the time of Moses, and the whole story of Moses and Herod killing the 2-year-old children and under in Bethlehem. Politicians, if you call yourself a born-again believer, if you call yourself a pro-life, you got to realize you're going to be standing with Herod and Pharaoh at the judgment seat if you don't stand with this bill to ban abortion completely. And kicking the can down the road, as Brother Jacob said, I want to get into the trigger laws. What are these trigger laws around the country with some of these states? And what is it going to do if Indiana doesn't ban abortion? What's going to happen to abortion in Indiana?
That's a great question. So what we're seeing in Indiana already and ministering at the clinics, for example, we minister at all 3 abortion clinics in Indianapolis, my wife and I. And the abortion clinic on the east side of Indianapolis on 12th and Arlington, that abortion clinic typically murders on Wednesdays and Fridays, about 30 to 35 each day. Last week, they murdered Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and this past Monday. In addition, they were murdering last Wednesday, they murdered 70 children alone on that Wednesday. Wednesday before, 65. The Wednesday
through, how do you get those counts?
We watch the women go in. We watch as women are coming in and out. And then we know which ones have actually gotten a surgical abortion. By the way, if they're in there for a long time and they come out walking awkwardly, we know that they've had a surgical abortion. If they're coming out holding a bag, they're holding their the two-stage pill that I talked about. The first pill they've taken inside of the abortion clinic under the supervision of the doctor. The second pill they take home in a bag and with the instructions for that second abortion pill. So we know whether they've had a surgical or a chemical abortion. So we just count the women as they're coming in. So we rotate in shifts and we keep track of the numbers. Last week was almost 120 to 180 women went into that abortion clinic to murder their baby. We had, and in addition, well over half of them were coming from Ohio and Kentucky. We were becoming an abortion tourism state. Over 437 children have been murdered since June 24th, since Roe versus Wade has been overturned in Indiana. So they, and the reason is Ohio had a heartbeat law. So our law in Indiana was more expansive on abortion. In addition, Kentucky only had one abortion clinic and it shut down because they had a trigger law in place. So when Roe was overturned, that abortion clinic was immediately shut down, but now is in contention in the courts.
And so that is what state?
That is in Kentucky.
Kentucky.
So that's why we were having people flowing in from Ohio and Kentucky. Now, if we have less, obviously I'm going to be shooting for the bullseye of complete abolition, but if whatever bill ends up coming out of this, if it ends up being less restrictive than Ohio and Kentucky, we can bank on that our numbers in Indiana are actually probably going to go up. Right now, women in Indiana, about 99% of women who have an abortion are already having an abortion before 15 weeks. So the idea being that let's just say worst case scenario, they dial back the 20-week threshold in Indiana to 15 weeks, people are going to say, oh, well, that's going to save babies because it's going to be 5 weeks less. No. Again, most of the women have their abortion before 15 weeks. And plus, now they're going to know what the threshold is. And in addition, it's going to be the abortion access is going to be much more than Ohio or Kentucky. So therefore, we're going to have a lot of women coming in from Ohio and Kentucky having abortions in Indiana.
Now, I understand Michigan has laws on the book from 50 years ago banning abortion. Now, that if they enforce that, that's a different animal altogether. But
yes, and most likely, I think if I understood correctly, I think they're trying to contend, they're trying to fight that in court, I believe right now.
Okay. Well, how can people get a hold of you and talk to you more about these bills and what to say? And do you want more rallies? Are you interested in more rallies to get people? People are afraid to get on the phone, to talk to politicians, even to leave a recording on a phone, or they don't know how to craft a letter or an email to send to their politicians.
So. Well, I mean, they can reach out to my office and pass on the message to me through my office. And they can just call up the Indiana General Assembly. Or if they would like, I have a political page, my Facebook political page, John Jacobs State Representative, and they could message me through that political page. However, I will be keeping people updated on my political page as to what the call to action is, what's going on. As information flows in, I'm going to keep people updated. Now, direct updates, I think the best way is if they text text for life, the number 4, LIFE, to 66866, and it will ask for their email. And then what we'll do is we'll keep people updated through the process, through the whole legislative process, as far as what's going on. Because what's going to happen is we're going to need to be flexible, you know, because whatever the plan is right now, the plan may not be the same about a week from now.
Okay.
And whatever the plan is, maybe a week from now, may not be the same 2 weeks from now.
Okay.
So I know that the Republican establishment, the best tool that they have on their side is the lack of flow of information. If they can keep people in the dark about what's going on and keep things under wraps, that keeps the public from really knowing what to do. So as I get information, I'm going to get that information out to people so they know what's going on and what they need to do.
So again, text for life to what number?
So yeah, text the number for life to 66866. And they can see that on my political page, my Facebook political page, John Jacobs State Representative. And then again, text the number 4LIFE to 66866 to stay connected on what they need to do throughout this special legislative session. And you know another thing, Greg, I could bring up a whole bunch of scripture verses. I know you're going to bring up scripture verses here. You know, one thing I've always told the Republican caucus, it's always right to do right. It's always wrong to do wrong. And the right thing to do with this is to end abortion. And one verse I bring up in to the legislators over and over, and I brought it up on the legislative floor, is Deuteronomy 16:20. God says, justice and only justice you shall pursue. And I've told legislators, I said, your token of attempts at partial justice is injustice. It's sin. It's wrong.
Amen.
You need to give full justice to the preborn.
Amen. And it's just like Jesus bringing that little child up to the disciples and saying, if anybody offend one of these little children, it'd be better that a millstone be put about their neck and they'd be thrown in the depths of the sea. And the politicians, the Republican politicians who don't vote for banning abortion, the Lord is speaking to you. There's a judgment day. You don't realize it. Don't believe it. You may not understand it, but there's a judgment day for God's people also. And you claim you're against abortion. You need to be totally against abortion and not regulating it like Representative Jacob has just laid out, and stand for his bill. The wording of HB 1282, the scriptures say, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. We have a wonderful Lord, wonderful God. Every child should be born, have an opportunity to breathe this air and have an opportunity to life. And no child is unwanted. And I can't understand how some of these progressive denominations have said, well, it's justice to the child because they're unwanted, and it's worth off for them to be living than to die in the womb. And I can't comprehend how they justify that. Representative John Jacob, thank you very much for being with us this morning and being on the air. This will be replayed again Sunday night. If you don't mind, please close us in prayer.
I will. Thank you, Pastor Greg. Father God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross for us and being risen from the dead and offering free salvation to all who will repent and place their complete faith and trust in you. Father, we see the Holocaust and you see the Holocaust. You see your eyes are holy. You are holy and you are just. And you see the blood of the preborn that has been shed in our nation, and not just in our nation, but across the world, but specifically here in Indiana. And you, that blood of those children cry out for justice, Father God. And Lord, you tell us to deliver those who are being taken away to death and to open our mouth for the rights of the afflicted and needy. And that pure and undefiled religion is one that cares for orphans and widows. And these are orphans. They've been orphaned by their mother and father, by the culture, by frankly, Lord, by the church. And Father, we're praying that you would move upon the heart of your church to be the salt and light that you've called us to be, to stand in the gap for our preborn neighbor, to love our preborn neighbor by standing in the gap for them, Lord. Father, give your church, your people, strength and boldness and courage in these perilous days, Lord, that you would call them to step up and stand in the gap for them, Lord, to call their legislator, to speak to everybody that they know so that they can expand the group of people that are going to be impacted by this broadcast and by the rallies, but then they would call out to other people that they know to step into the battle as well, to show up at the State House, to give testimony, to just even show up to have their voice heard there and make their presence known so that the legislators would know that we're not tolerating regulating abortion anymore, Father God, but that we want to see a complete end to abortion, to this bloodshed that's going on in our nation. Father God, please help us. Have mercy on us, Lord. Please, we need repentance, a move, a mighty move from you in the hearts of your people, Father God. And may we see abortion abolished in our day, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel, formerly the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegeler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. That's gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.